Today, I'm going to visit with Michaela Keenitz. She is the CEO of the Boone County Hospital. Michaela, thanks for taking time to visit with us this month.
Thanks for the opportunity.
A little update on things that are going on at the Boone County Hospital. First of all, we did have a meeting end of August. And we have a lot of different things coming here. But this is really, what, your first meeting of the new fiscal year?
Yes, it's our first meeting of this fiscal year. We did not meet in July, so there was a lot to cover.
I know that obviously one of the things, and I know you talked a lot about it, but we've touched on this a little bit a couple of months ago too, but the goals that you have, the dashboard, I said, you guys bring it up every meeting. It's one of those where the board gets to constantly see how things, how the goals are being met, where we're having issues, where we're doing extremely well. You had a pretty good year in the last year.
Yeah, we did. I'm considering the fiscal year 25 a huge win for the hospital on many fronts. But when we, in reference to the organizational goals dashboard, I think we met almost all of our goals. There were a couple that we didn't quite meet what we had set our goal to be, but we did still see growth in both of those goals. And so we were really excited about where the year ended as far as that goes. A lot of growth as far as volume, which helped us meet our mission, providing more access to care for folks, keeping things local. So we're really excited about that. Obviously, we had a great financial year. From patient satisfaction perspective, folks still recommending the organization. And really, we pay attention to that would recommend score because it's nationally benchmarked. And we really want to make sure that, people are ranking us high on that one. And, so we saw where that ended the year, but it has even improved more in July of this fiscal year. So it's exciting to keep watching that goal. And, just a lot of really great things going on in the organization. The organizational goals dashboard is a really good snapshot for the board members and also for our staff and our providers and for patients.
And a lot of it for people that have never seen it. And I mean, there's a lot of different things in there. I mean, we've talked in the past about days cash on hand. That's a relatively easy one to put in there. But again, there's a lot of other areas where on care, on scoring at certain levels, people using the portal, things like that.
Yep. That was one of our goals for this year was to increase portal usage. We really, really hit that one out of the ballpark. I feel like we continued to just kind of see that score continue to increase. And in the beginning of the year, we tried really hard to help people sign up to their own portal. And then once we met our goal, we started working on helping folks sign up what's called a proxy portal. So for their children or for their elderly parents. And so as we continued to work on those efforts, as people would come in to be seen, we would make sure that, if they were getting set up in the portal, we had their email address and that it was working for them. And so that was a really, really nice goal. And it was kind of a fun goal because I saw a lot of our staff wrap their arms around that goal and work really hard to meet it. And so we used that concept when we set goals for this fiscal year, and especially when we talk about our quality goals, we decided, hey, what's something that everyone can kind of commit to and have their piece of? And so the portal goal was an awesome goal last year.
I know that, we're going to and talking a little bit about how we wrapped up the year. Basically, 25, bottom line, was pretty big year for you. We had a big win. It was a big year.
It was a huge year for us, bottom line wise. I think we ended the year, I think the final numbers are around $8.5 million positive bottom line. We budgeted around $3.5 million. So it was a very big year for us. And not only was that related to the Medicaid-directed payment, which was higher than we had anticipated, but also, like I said, we saw a lot of growth and utilization of our services. And so it was a really big year. And I hope that everybody recognizes that we don't just use that big bottom line just as a profit. We reinvest our money back into our organization, back into our people, back into equipment and services. And, some of the new service lines that we try to bring on, they're costly. And so it helps us be able to do the things that we want to do to help meet our mission and to help serve our community. And so it's really exciting when we have, big bottom line like that. The hospital's in a very stable position, and that makes me feel good because I know it wasn't that long ago that maybe the hospital wasn't in the best position, and you probably remember that, Jim.
So. Oh, yes. I can remember A long time ago, yeah. There was some real, are we going to make it through the day kind of thing. So.
Yeah, and when we, you know, we talk about having 150 days cash on hand at our year end last year, that's, you know, for people that don't understand, that is the number of days that we could run our organization if we did not receive any revenue. So we could last 150 days on the money that we have. And so that's really, really a really nice benchmark for us. I think the industry standard is around 120 days. And I think, you know, years ago, the organization was much, much, much lower than that. And so it's really, it's a nice place to be because we can do the things that we need to do to serve folks.
Well, I know that one of the things, and when I last month I had a chance to visit with Chris Torres, again, talked about some of the financial parts of it. And at that time, this big, beautiful bill was going and the impacts that now directed payments, that was something that, again, we did exceptionally well on last year. Do we have an idea how that's going to continue to work? Is it going to be the same? Are we going to see some variations there? What does it look like?
So I think for this fiscal year that we're in right now, fiscal year 26 that started July 1st, it should stay the same for this fiscal year. I believe that next fiscal year, they're projecting some type of decrease, and IHA, the Iowa Hospital Association, has helped to kind of model that out for hospitals, and there's one of two ways that it could go. And so we don't know exactly which way it's going to go, but we will see a decrease in that payment of some sort.
Well, we just keep our fingers crossed, keep watching it there.
Yep, exactly.
And 140 births?
140 births.
That was pretty good.
Pretty amazing. So I believe that we finally exceeded our last highest year, which was 2021, and I believe there was around 125 births that year. My board member, Lisa Coburn, has pointed that out to me. You know, we finally exceeded 2021. So we're really excited about it. Our births have, since 2022, we've increased about 68% in number of births. And so and we're anticipating a very busy year this year. So, you know, we've done a bit to grow our the number of our OB providers. We've done a bit to invest in equipment in that area. And I just think that people just really love our staff and our providers. And the word is out that, you know, it's really an enjoyable experience to have your baby here. So we're excited about that number. And we just keep working to grow that service.
Yeah, I know last time, I think what we visited, we're doing some negotiations with Dallas County.
Yes, we're talking about a shared partnership with Dallas County right now, kind of similar to what we do with the Indies Medical Center, where they have one of their newer providers there wants to do prenatal care, and so she'll do that prenatal care there and then transfer the patient here later in their pregnancy, and then they'll deliver here. And then the patient goes right back to Dallas County or right back to Van Deest for their, you know, follow-up care and all that. So our intention's not to keep that patient and that baby. Our intention is to do the delivery and be somewhere close and give them a really good experience.
That's the big thing, having a patient experience for births is always a biggie. So.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned yesterday in the board meeting that we received some messaging from some pregnant folks in Des Moines that, you know, they said, everybody knows that Boone is famous for their OB care. So I think the word's getting out of kind of what it's like here to have your baby. So that's really fun to get that kind of feedback.
That, and plus we have that midwife service as well, too. So
yes, we added Megan Sloat back in April, and she's been a very welcome addition. And then we have been partnering with the home birth midwives out of the Des Moines area as a place that their patients can deliver if home birth doesn't work out for them. And so that's been really nice, too, and has helped with our growth.
Well, we got a lot of other things that are still, again, that we could talk about for the last year, like the food program. You did exceptionally well again this year. And this was the third year. They were more organized.
Yeah, they were really organized this year. They did over 1,000 bags of food. I think around 30 or so boxes of food, which sometimes we give big boxes to families that are in need. So it was a really, really good program. I think Sarah Bain was able to help Lisa Schmidt get a grant this year for some of the food. We take donations, and sometimes we just don't get quite enough donations to get all the way through the summer. And so we went after a grant for it, and that was really nice. And so we were actually able to extend the program a couple of weeks because we had some food still left to give away. So that was really nice to get out a couple of extra weeks and get closer to the start of school for those kiddos. So it's such a good program, and it just, I think it means so much to our community. And for us, it's a way for us to partner and support people in our community. Sure. And, you know, we do it in Boone and Ogden and Madrid, and it just means a lot to us to be out there helping support folks.
And the part I, you know, people keep forgetting is kids aren't going to school. They don't have access to those meals.
Right. Yeah. A lot of kids, you know, qualify for free and reduced lunch, and then they aren't at school. And some of the schools do have a lunch program, but then we help by, you know, supplementing with bags that have snacks and breakfast food and other things like that to help the kiddos get through summer where they don't have access to all of that food like they do when they're in school.
Well, let's talk about one of the big thing changes that's really coming for you. And we know that Sarah Clute-Bain had intended to kind of step away from the foundation. I remember when she started with the foundation. That was a while ago. But she is stepping away. She's got other things that she would like to try to do and be involved with. She's not going to be too far away, but... Rachel has been under her wing for some time now, Rachel Mann, and looks like it could have a fairly smooth transition. You have a pretty strong board on that as well.
Absolutely. We have a wonderful board on our foundation. They're very committed and active with the foundation. If there's ever foundation events, they're there. And so that's a really nice thing to have as we move forward with the transition of Sarah, you know, leaving the organization. Sarah has been the foundation director for 20 years. And so that is a really long time when you're thinking about your work world. And so, you know, she's made a huge impact in her 20 years. I think she said when she started here, the foundation had around $350,000, and year to date, they've raised over $4 million. And so it's, and think of all the impact that they've made on the hospital. Their mission is to provide programming and services for the hospital that otherwise the hospital wouldn't be able to get. And there has been so much equipment and so much programming and scholarships and all these great things, you know, Project Be the Light, all led and directed by the foundation, much of that led and directed by Sarah. And so her impact has been really, really big on not just our organization, but on the community. And so, you know, we wish her well. She's starting her own business, and I know she's going to do really well with that. So I'm excited for her future. And then Rachel is taking over from her. Rachel has been, working in the foundation for about 9 years now. And so she's very well versed in all of the events and all of the activities that the foundation does. She works very well with the board members. And so I'm excited to see Rachel grow and thrive in that role. And I think she'll do a wonderful job. So it's just a time of transition over there. And, you know, we definitely want to make sure that Sarah feels thanked and that we're grateful for all that she's done. I do know that she's going to kind of stay and help us get through Harvest Festival on a kind of a temporary basis. And then she'll stay on after that to help us with grant writing, which is, and maybe some other things as needed. Sure. But, you know, she's exceptional at grant writing. And so we're going to have her continue to help us with that. So it's going to be great. And the Harvest Festival is coming up in October. And so we hope that everybody comes to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Start getting your plans together and get getting ready to sign up to be a part of it, too. I know they always, the foundation, they always kind of have their target things that they're looking at. So we'll get a chance to visit with Rachel and see what they're really focusing on. I think they kind of keep you guys updated on what they're, if they have. I remember, you know, when it was let's raise some money for the ambulances or getting the lift beds for the ambulances, those kinds of things. Those are things that you don't think about right away, but all of a sudden, yeah, they come along and, yeah, we can help put that over the edge of the room for mental health services.
Yeah. Yep. This year's goal, I think, is going to be to we're getting a new ambulance. And you know, we talked about that with the foundation. And you know, they said, well, we did raise funds for an ambulance, but that was over 6 years ago. And that doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but it was. And so our goal this year is to have them help us purchase another ambulance. One of ours is getting pretty old. And so I think you and I have talked before about keeping those ambulances on a rotation. And so that's kind of our big item this year that we're trying to purchase. And so that's what the goal of the Harvest Festival is a fund to need this year is for an additional ambulance.
And we'll say that you did get a pretty good deal when if you let us build our ambulance now, and let us show it at the hospital. What is it? Yeah, they have a hospital association. I think they're going to show it there. And then they'll bring it over here.
Yeah, yep. They let us, they gave us the opportunity to go ahead and get it early. Yeah. And there wouldn't have been a great way to get it early, so other than this. And so we were excited. So they're building it and they're going to display it. It's called IEMSA. It's the Iowa EMS Association. And so everybody that goes to that, all the paramedics and all the, you know, EMS leaders in the state, they'll be there and they'll get to see this ambulance and then it will come here to us. And so we're really, really excited about that. We'll be getting it, I think, maybe 6 or so months earlier than we would have had we not gone that route.
Yeah, I was going to say that. And for people that say, well, you have these new ambulances and well, yeah, they are, and you look at them and you see a nice looking ambulance, but there's a lot of miles on those.
There's a lot of miles, and they're very expensive to replace. And so, you know, we do try to use them as long as we can. And what we'll end up doing after we've replaced them all, because you know, a couple years ago we got two,
yep,
and now we're getting another one. What we'll end up doing is the next time we need to replace, we'll just be replacing the chassis. We'll just remount the box on a different chassis.
Sure.
Because the box is still in very good shape and, you know, doesn't need to be replaced. And then the next round is when you start replacing the whole thing again. So we're getting on this process here where it's more cost effective to just remount the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're really worried about the miles on the chassis. So it's kind of nice to be on a rotation, but also still trying to get to that point where we have good enough ambulances that we can just be remounting.
It's much better than having to call the neighbors and say, will you take this run for us because all our ambulances are getting fixed. So
right.
Don't want to do that.
Work. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and now it's kind of the other way because you have become very dependable with the system. I mean, if Mary Greeley can't make a run, Boone can do it for him.
And yeah, absolutely. We do a lot of mutual aid with the surrounding areas. And in both, you know, Mary Greeley, Story County, Boone County, we all help to cover and support Greene County right now because they don't have ambulance service, fully staffed ambulance service. So that's been a little struggle for them and their organization, but we've all been trying to help with that. And so it's nice to have the equipment and the supplies and the you know, reliable stuff that we can actually do that and help patients get where they need to go.
So I did want to go back and ask you about this, but the Hospital Association, they have a Hospital Heroes Award. We got a recognition. Big win.
Oh, we do. It's a huge win. We're super excited to announce that Justin Neely was nominated and selected to receive the Hospital Hero Award this year. Justin is our Director of Support Services, and he leads our engineering team and our environmental services team. And so, you know, it's interesting because those departments are kind of behind the scenes departments, and they keep things going, and they're just not out, you know, forward facing all the time. And so Justin's done a really, really nice job. He's been through some hard stuff in the last year and a half or so in his life. And so really watching him work through that and show up here for our staff and for the people that report to him and the people that work with him. He's just a really energetic guy. And so I'm really, really proud and happy. He's very deserving of this award.
I know. When it rained and all of a sudden Justin, and or then the fire sprinkler went off too. It's Justin.
I tell you what, and I was not here that day, but I have heard that, you know, he was working really hard to get the fire sprinkler, the water to shut off, and, you know, and he's always there. That's the thing about Justin is whenever there's a crisis or whenever something's happening with our building, he is always there, and he always is calm and helps to lead things and get things fixed. And our building, you know, we've talked about it, it's an old building, and there's a lot of things that he has to do that's extra that you wouldn't have to do, you know, if the building wasn't so old, but he's just great at his role, and he leads his team nicely, and so the rest of us really enjoy working with him.
I know last time when I visited and talked with Chris Torres, he did mention a little bit about the master plan and, again, the work that's going on here. And I said, so right away, and he goes, well, he said, it takes a long time to put this together. And that's the big thing, too. You are looking at facilities. You are looking at what we need to do next. Where should we go? How do we pay for it? That sort of thing.
Yeah, we continue to work on the facility master plan. And, you know, we've been doing that for quite some time now, but it does take a long time to really determine what the needs will be, what the best path forward is. And again, like you said, what can we afford to do? So right now we're touring some different facilities throughout the state and just kind of looking at how do they do things? How are they gaining efficiencies that we don't have today? Is it, you know, shared staffing, shared space, shared, is it we use some one area for one thing during the day and it switches to a different thing at night. So just really trying to look at how other places do it. Kind of some comparable sized hospitals, some critical access hospitals. We just looked at Marshalltown last week, which is not a critical access hospital, but it is a newer facility and many people have seen Marshalltown along Highway 30 there. So, and some of the hospitals that we've looked at are just different from each other and different from us. And so it's really nice to get different ideas. And then the whole hope is that at the end of that process, our team will be able to get together, really talk about square footage and determine what our needs are. And then we can look at what will that cost us. Mm-hmm. And then we'll make a decision, whether it's, sure. you know, a really large renovation project, a replacement, a phased replacement. It just all depends.
Got a lot of variables to look at too.
Lots of variables, and you know, of course, we don't know what's going to happen with some of the financial things, and so we continue to work on operational growth and not, you know, when we talk about a project, we really need to be able to operationally support whatever we choose to do, not dependent on money like the Medicaid directed payment and things like that. Of course, that helps, but. You know, these would be long-term plans, and so our operations have to continue to grow to support whatever we're going to do.
This is my lightning round part here, too. A lot of capital requests on the agenda for the board at their last meeting. Probably the big anesthesia machines actually had to go over a little bit on what you had budgeted because you were looking for some additional, advantages for those systems.
Yeah, there was some modules that add some capabilities to those machines, and we determined that while our machines are getting to end of life, those modules have like maybe a year left until they hit end of life, and so we figured we might as well just do it all at one time. But I did want to mention that along with the anesthesia machines, we had budgeted and planned for two of those in this fiscal year, but with the OR water issue that occurred, one of them was destroyed, and so our insurance will help us replace one of the machines.
That'll cover some of that. That's good.
Yeah.
And again, just a few of the other things. You got your license for Meditech, yay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
We definitely need that.
So those some of the things I was going to ask about the other parts going on, orthopedic surgeries, capital still moving forward. Do we have more people coming to help? What's going on there?
Yeah, so they have hired a new surgeon. I can't remember his name right this moment, but they've hired a new surgeon, and he will be coming out to Boone. He's working on getting his Iowa license. He has his license in a different state, so he's working on that process right now. Once he gets that, then he can apply for credentials here, and then we'll get moving forward with that. While the capital situation with Dr. Doerman leaving has not been ideal, the fact that we're down to one OR, that's functional right at this moment.
Sure.
It's all kind of working out okay. But Dr. Peterson is still here doing surgeries, and a couple of PAs are here, Logan Driscoll, and then there's one other PA here that's helping to fill the gap. So it's going good.
Okay, everything's moving forward there. And I know that one operating room's got to be pretty busy.
It is pretty busy, and you know, we do C-sections obviously with OB, so it's a lot of really good communication about what's happening in OB before we start other general cases. And so it's working out though. I mean, there has been a few cases that have had to go elsewhere. I think around 13 cases have had to go elsewhere. I think the majority of those were cataracts.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other, maybe an ortho case or two, and a general surgery, I think, that did end up going somewhere else simply because of scheduling. And you know, July wasn't a super busy month for OB.
Sure.
August has been a bit busier, and September will be really busy. So we think the OR will be down for about 4 to 6 more weeks. So hopefully right about the time that reopens will be about the busy time in OB. So, just keeping that timing.
That's a big thing, too. I appreciate you taking time visiting with us. Thanks so much, and look forward to visiting with you again next month.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.